none of this is directly affects them to the extent it's like how they vote, but in terms of how the redistricting process will proceed starting in January, the passage or defeat of this amendment will make a difference.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we survey some of the ballot questions as New York voters go to the polls this fall. Election Day is November 2nd, and early voting is already underway. There's more at stake, though, than local races for mayor and supervisor. Several constitutional amendments are on the ballot this year. Two concern voting itself: same-day registration and no-excuse absentee ballots. The third would alter the state's redistricting process. To help break down the questions, I called up Albany Law School Government Law Center Legal Director Richard Rifkin.
Good to talk to you, and always.
So take us through what the ballot questions are this year, and let's start with the easier ones.
Okay. Let's start with same-day registration, which will be Proposition 3. In total, there will be five propositions on the statewide propositions on the ballot. There is now a requirement in the state constitution that registration must be completed 10 days before Election Day. And in fact, under the statute, it has to be 25 days before Election Day. This means that if a voter goes to the polls and wishes to vote, but it turns out the voter is not registered, that voter will be turned away. This constitutional amendment would allow a voter in that position to register and vote at the same time. That's why it's called same-day registration. And what will happen is the ballot that is cast will be cast on paper. It will be set aside. And then after Election Day, the election officials will check to validate his or her registration. And if it's validated, they will count the ballot. If it's not validated, they will not count the ballot. The reason for this provision is that there's a sense that people get interested in elections as you get closer to Election Day. There's a lot more in the media. There may be issues that arise that concern the voter. And they said, I want to cast a ballot in this election. But then it turns out, under today's conditions, they cannot because they're not previously registered.
Not to mention just old-fashioned procrastination.
Procrastination is certainly one of them. In that way, it will help democracy, in my view, because, after all, the more people that vote, the stronger our democracy.
So presumably, then, no-excuse absentee balloting is much the same argument. Take us through that ballot question.
Okay, on no-excuse, this deals with people who wish to cast their ballots absentee. That is, they don't want to go to the polling place. They want to mail it in, or there may be a post office drop or a ballot drop where they can drop it off. Under the Constitution today, you may not cast an absentee ballot unless you are out of the area, meaning out of the county in which you live, or if it's New York City, out of the city in which you live, out of New York City, or you have an illness or a disability that precludes you from going to the polling place. And when you apply for an absentee ballot, you have to check off one of those excuses. If you do not, you are not entitled to vote by means of an absentee ballot. And if you wish to vote, you must go to a polling place. This amendment would eliminate the need for an excuse so that any potential voter, if he or she wanted to vote, could simply apply and receive an absentee ballot.
And we've already had a bit of a trial run with what this might look like because of the way COVID impacted voting in 2020, right?
That's correct. Last year, the governor, using his executive powers, or the executive powers that were granted to him by the legislature, said that anyone who had a fear of COVID, because you had to go to the polling place to vote, you could check off the illness excuse on the ballot. That would be a legitimate checkoff, and then you can get an absentee ballot. But of course, the governor, in order to do that, had to say that fear of COVID is an illness that I think can no longer be done.
Now, that's number four. That's ballot question number four. In both of
that's
the
correct.
Instances that we've talked about so far, if the voters approve it on Election Day, that doesn't mean the change takes effect yet, right?
That's correct. These are constitutional restrictions. If these restrictions are removed in the Constitution, then it would be up to the legislature to amend current law in order to use the advantages that would be given by these amendments. Although I must say that in order to get these amendments on the ballot, they had to be approved by two consecutive legislatures. And if they've been approved twice, it's hard to believe that if they're now approved by the voters, the legislature will not follow up and pass the necessary implementing legislation.
And I know you don't want to get too political in this conversation, but presumably New York would like to be seen as one of the states expanding voting rights if that's the way the voters go with these ballot questions at this time of national debate over this issue.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, without getting into the politics of this, that the general approach in New York has been to enhance voter participation.
Okay, now let's talk about ballot question number one, which brings to mind the Hydra from Greek myth when you try to break it down. Help us out.
Yes, well, if we have about an hour, I can go over every provision in Proposition 1. But let me try to make it as simple as possible, which is not easy, by the way. In 2014, we adopted a constitutional amendment which created something called the Independent Redistricting Commission as we go about redistricting following the 2020 census. This amendment would change that whole process in a good number of ways, many of which are highly technical. But let me try to go through what I consider the most important part of this proposition. First of all, it would require that all residents of the state, including non-citizens and Native Americans, be included in the population count, so that when you're looking at how many people are in a district, and the districts are supposed to basically be of equal population, you include non-citizens and Native Americans. Secondly, those individuals who are incarcerated will be counted at their last residence, not at the location in which they are serving time. This is important because we have a good number of upstate prisons, some of which may house thousands of individuals who have no real connection to the locality. So you don't want to count them as that locality because in many rural counties, that will significantly increase the population of the county. And so this would require that they be counted at their last residence address.
And just to say here that many of those prison facilities are located in very rural areas.
That's correct. Now, I also should note that this is the rule that we have applied in New York to Senate and legislative districts, this would apply them as well to congressional districts. Another provision, and this is may or may not be seen as some as significant, but it would establish 63 districts in our state Senate. Some people who are knowledgeable might say, well, we already have 63 districts, but the number has changed over the years, and the legislature has been able to change the number of districts. This would fix the number 63 in the Constitution. There are some other provisions dealing with how the procedure for redistricting, and it becomes highly, highly technical, but to try to make it as simple as possible. The Independent Redistricting Commission has 10 members, five who are generally Democratic-leaning and five who are Republican-leaning. This amendment would require seven votes to approve, for the commission to approve any plan, which then, by the way, has to go to the legislature. If there are seven votes to approve a plan, then a majority of the legislature would need to approve the plan for it to become effective. And by the way, the governor would have to approve the bill in which those maps are defined. If no plan gets seven votes, then the plan or plans getting the most votes on the commission will be submitted to the legislature. And in order to approve one of those plans, you would need a 60% legislative majority in each house rather than just a simple majority. And finally, if the commission does not vote on any plan, or at least doesn't have a sufficient number of votes to approve any plan, all plan or plans that have been drafted by the commission go to the legislature, and then the legislature can adopt either one or amend any one of them as it pleases and then adopt it. So that would be the new procedure should the constitutional amendment be adopted.
How does that factor into the current redistricting process that's already underway in New York State?
There are just simply different requirements. For instance, any plan now sent to the legislature would have to be approved by two-thirds under the current rule. Here, as I say, it might be only a majority approval or it might be a 60% approval, depending upon what is submitted to the legislature. One of the arguments that are being made is that this makes things easier and gives more power to the majority party in the legislature and reduces the power of the minority parties. And one of the interesting aspects of all these rule changes contained in Proposition 1 is that they are effective on January 1, 2022, while we will still be in the current redistricting process. So the applicable rules beginning in January will depend upon whether the voters approve or turn down this proposition.
Right. So voters in this one specific instance have a lot of say a couple of steps removed from the 2022 maps.
That's correct. I mean, none of this is directly affects them to the extent it's like how they vote. But in terms of how the redistricting process will proceed starting in January, the passage or defeat of this amendment will make a difference.
I suppose we should just mention the other two ballot questions quickly. One would establish a constitutional right to clean air and water, and the other has to do with the New York City court system.
Yeah, it deals with the jurisdiction of the lower courts of the state. It would raise it from 25,000 to 50,000. The second one would give every person the right to clean air, clean water and a healthful environment.
Well, thank you for breaking it down. Richard Rifkin is legal director of the Government Law Center at Albany Law School. Take your time, voters. Read it over. I hope this helps.
Let me say to the voters, the State Board of Elections website has a good summary of the amendments, including the complicated Proposition 1. So if people are looking to try to get a little more information, I suggest you go to the website of the state board and then just click on the proposed amendments, and you'll get a good deal of information there.
All right. Great as always, Richard. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Always glad to do it, Ian.
All right. That does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.